Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we pause now, Lord, to give thee the thanks and give thee the praise and ask thee for thy blessings in, with us in this evening hour as we would open thy word. Father, we look to thee and know that our gathering together without thee would be in vain. Father, but we know that if thou art in our hearts and in our minds as we speak upon thy word, that our time together will be a blessing and we will be strengthened and we will come to know thee better. And so we just pray thee that we would lean upon thee, trust in thee, and we would ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter number 9, and begin reading with verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before thee this evening as we have opened up thy word and have read together the account that our Lord and Savior was so willing to do while he was on this earth. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words of truth and life. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to teach us and to show us the way, to show compassion and love, mercy, grace. And we experience that even today as you share with us your great riches from above. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace that comes upon us day by day. And so now we gathered ourselves together this evening to worship thee for all the blessings and the grace and the mercy that you bestow upon us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you care for us and you love us, and may we too love thee as thou hast loved us. Father, we're mindful tonight of ones that are unable to be here tonight. We know that there are various reasons why people can't come, but we pray, Father, that you'll be with each and every one, especially our loved ones that are on their hospital beds, suffering with perhaps old age, health issues. We pray for them, Father, be with them and strengthen them, and the families that surround them, that they too might feel thy nearness and thy powerful hand that they can be led of thee also. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of our young people that have gathered with us. We pray for them that they might also hear the word again tonight and realize that they are being invited once again for their soul salvation. Lord, we know that there are many things that we could call upon thee, many things that we could request, but you know our wants and our needs, and we know that you will provide even when we don't ask. But you seem to love us so much that you cared for all of our wants and needs. And so we, from the depths of our heart, thank thee for this. Heavenly Father, we also want to pray for the leaders of our country as we experience these freedoms that we have. We're able to gather quietly here and unmolested, and we're so thankful that we have these privileges here in our country. But we know that throughout many foreign lands, there are places that are not allowed to gather, and that they have to do it in secret, and yet there are still souls being saved throughout the face of this earth. We know that thy word is being spread everywhere, and that thy Lord, our Lord, might soon come back. And so we pray that that day would hasten, but not according to our will, but according to thy will. So bless our brother, be with him as he shares the word tonight, and may all honor and glory and praise be unto thee as we sit for learning in this evening hour. Bless our being together as we call upon thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Last Sunday we had both services from the Gospel of Matthew, and here we are again in Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew, as many of us know, was a publican. He was a man who collected taxes from the Jewish people to the Roman government. And yet Jesus called him, and we read that earlier in this chapter in verse number 9, where it says that as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. So it was just as it was with Peter and Andrew and James and John, how Jesus called them and they left their nets and became fishers of men. Matthew also had left his booth where he collected his taxes, and he rose up and followed Jesus. And the Bible records here that he held a meal or at his home and called other of the publicans and sinners that were there, and Jesus was there among them and his disciples, and there was some murmuring about that. But what Matthew focuses a lot on in his gospel is that there is a fulfillment of the Old Testament, prophecies from the Old Testament. And we see that word over and over throughout the gospel of this, what was fulfilled. And he's bringing to light the truth that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, to you Jews, is who you are looking for. It's Emmanuel, God with us. And so Matthew's making this claim as he writes this gospel, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we read of the time when Jesus called Andrew and Peter, James and John, and then there was the temptation, and then there was the Sermon on the Mount, and then immediately after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, the Bible here is recording that Jesus did a lot of miracles. There was a lot of miracles in succession, one after the other, in chapters 8 and 9. And the portion of Scripture that we read this evening is somewhat the conclusion of these series of healings and miracles that Jesus did for others. And one thing that we can see through this scripture that we read here together is that there has always been these great opportunities of a harvest where there are those that were ripe to hear the message. And they were witnesses of the healing that Jesus did. And so there were these great opportunities over and over, but yet with every opportunity, it seems, there were obstacles. Jesus faced obstacles continuously as he was fulfilling these great opportunities that were presented at this time. And so as we consider this scripture, we'll see that Jesus had these great opportunities and obstacles were presented to him. Likewise, in our walk of faith, we will have great opportunities that will be before us. And with those opportunities, Satan will always place obstacles in our path as well. And so we pick up the reading here in verse number 27, after the time when Jesus had just left Jairus' house, where he raised Jairus' daughter to life again. And here the Bible is saying that when Jesus was departed thence, when he left that house, again, there was this immediate succession of events that were happening. It says that when Jesus was departed from thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." And so it was that Jesus, when he did all these miracles recorded not only in chapters 8 and 9, but throughout the Gospels, that there were some times that Jesus did miracles in secret, and then there were some times when Jesus did miracles in the open. There were times when Jesus did, before he would do a miracle, he challenged them. "Do you really believe?" And then there were other times when Jesus, in great compassion and mercy, extended that mercy immediately to them. I think of the time when Peter began walking on water, and then he looked around about him and he began to sink, and immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And so Jesus did miracles in different ways. And here, as he left Jairus' house, these two blind men were following him and crying out to him, saying that asking for mercy from the Son of David. And it appears that Jesus didn't say anything to them. It says, but when they came into the house, the blind men came to him, and then Jesus acknowledges them and asks them a question. And he says to them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you have the faith that I am able to do this? And their response was, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, and saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith. And so Jesus asks of us as well, according to our faith, according to the measure of faith that we have, things will happen for us as well. According to the measure of faith that we allow in our hearts and in our minds and in the power of Jesus Christ. And so these men were challenged. "Are you able? Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And then he simply says, "It's according to your faith." And apparently they had faith. They had, and in their faith there was power. In their faith there was substance, because in their faith their eyes were opened, and they were able to see. Jesus speaks of faith here in Matthew's gospel, where he tells his disciples, he says, "Verily I say unto you," and when Jesus says "verily," that means that there's a message here, and it's going to be a very lifelong instruction. He says, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." This is Jesus. He's speaking to the disciples there and to us today. The two blind men, they had that faith. They believed that this Jesus' spoken word would allow them to have their sight. They believed that. That faith was able to move mountains for them. And so Jesus is telling us now today as well, "If verily I say unto you, if you have faith As the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence from yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Because of the power of God. Because of who God is. Because what He is able to do. Nothing shall be impossible unto you, Jesus says. Later in chapter 21, verse 21, Jesus says again, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, just as Jesus said to those blind men, be it according to your faith. And so Jesus is saying here, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, these are the words of Jesus Christ, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Jesus does not speak half-truths. Jesus speaks absolute truth. And Jesus here is saying, all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now we know that the Bible instructs us that we can't ask for things in prayer that we would consume it upon our lusts. That would be asking amiss. And we would not receive those things, and thank God that we would not receive those types of things. But when we ask for a measure of grace, God will provide even more grace than what we ask for. When we need strength, when we need to have our faith increased, God will provide that for us. The Lord will provide it for us. Because he says, nothing shall be impossible unto you, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. This was manifest to the two blind men. And so, after their eyes were open, Jesus straightly charged them, meaning very, very strongly, in no uncertain terms, he charged them that they would that see that no man know it. No one was to know that their eyes were opened. Jesus' command was there that they would say nothing to any man, and that no man would even know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And so again, here it is. Here's the obstacle. Jesus straightly charged them, don't tell anyone. And what did they do? As soon as they went away, as soon as they departed, they went ahead and just told everybody. They spread abroad his fame in all that country. We might think, well, how can these two men, who just received a great miracle, who were just blessed for their faith that they had in Jesus, could just be so quickly disobedient? That's the heart of man. And there will be challenges that we will see as well. Like, how could this happen? Something so good happened to this person. He was saved from damnation. He was saved from his sin. How can now he just turn around and do something like he just did? There will be obstacles. There will be times when we will struggle with events that happen in our lives that we are witnesses to. There will be those obstacles, but Jesus is calling us to have faith in him and to do what he would have us to do. As at the end of this chapter, he says that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so he's calling us to be his laborers. The opportunities are great, but the obstacles will be there as well. So after these two blind men leave, it says, as they went out, again, things happening in succession, one thing after another, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb, or the mute, spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So again, here's another great opportunity. Jesus had an opportunity to show that he was the Son of God, that they would believe the works that he does, And so he's showing to them the works that he's doing. And here he is, Jesus, who knows all things. He's presented with this man that's mute, and he has a devil in him. And he knows what's happening right now. He knows that these two men that were just healed of their blindness are blazing about the city, telling everybody what just happened to them when he straightly told them not to. And now he's presented with another opportunity. Well, should I heal this person that's from this devil? Look at what the blind men did that I just healed. But Jesus, in his love and in his compassion for all mankind, still casts out the devil from this man that was mute, and he made him to speak again. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." Again, a great opportunity. And the people marveled. They beheld the hand of God working in their midst. They'd never seen such a thing. And immediately, here it is, but the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of devils." Again, there's that challenge. There's that obstacle as soon as something good is done. Satan is always there to kill, steal, and destroy anything good that is done. So, further on it says then in verse number 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Again, if we go back to last Sunday morning's reading, we read there almost the same exact thing happened back then. So this was before, this is after the temptation and before the Sermon on the Mount. The same thing happened. It says that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. So he did it earlier, and now he's doing it again. He's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing. And here, both in chapter 4 and here in chapter 9, it's saying that he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Plenty of opportunity to show to the people that God was among them. So whatever the ailment was, whatever it was, Jesus had the power to heal. And so as we consider that in chapters 8 and chapter 9, there was miracles and miracles, and even back there in chapter 4, how all those that had diseases and sicknesses, he healed every one of them. There were likely even more that were not recorded by Matthew. And John writes in his gospel saying, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." This is the faith that Jesus is calling us to. This is the faith that we are to have. This is the faith that Jesus is saying to us, as he said to the blind men, "Believe ye that I am able to do this? Believe me, Jesus is saying, that I am able to move mountains in your life? Which is greater, the mountain or Jesus? Can there be a limit to our faith? Can we have only so much faith in God and then that amount of faith is capped off? Or is our faith in the Lord limitless? Who is greater, the mountain or God?" And so these things were written, and we believe that what Jesus did here to these two blind men and to that man that was possessed with devils and dumb, that we believe that Jesus healed them and that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by this faith that we have in him, we have life through his name. So here was Jesus. He was teaching and preaching. He was speaking forth a message. He was speaking what? The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom of God. And so as you consider throughout history, there were different kingdoms throughout Europe and throughout all places throughout the world, throughout all time. There were different kingdoms. And so what would happen was one person would rise up and become king, and he would call the shots on how his kingdom would be. He would say, this would be the taxes, this is how the society is going to be run, these are the laws, these are what we're going to engage in with trading and what we're not going to, and how we're going to associate with this country but be at war with that country. That was a kingdom that was set up. And many kingdoms have come and many kingdoms have gone away. But a kingdom is ruled by a person, and they set the rules for that kingdom. And here Jesus is preaching that this is the kingdom of God. He was preaching the kingdom of God, how God wants his kingdom to be set up, and the ways of his kingdom and how they will be. And so he was teaching and preaching the gospel, the good news of his kingdom. And he sent forth his disciples. In the next chapter, we see that he sent them forth to go and preach. And he says to them, go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were to preach about this. And so they were to preach that the kingdom of heaven, God's ways, it's now here in fullness. The law has come to fulfillment through Jesus Christ, and now grace and truth has come by Jesus Christ, and this is the kingdom of heaven. And then when Jesus was resurrected and ascended, we read in the Acts of the Apostles that they went forth and they preached and taught Jesus Christ. Nothing else. They taught and preached Jesus Christ, and it can be no different today among us as well. To preach and teach Jesus Christ. And so Jesus went through all their synagogues in all their villages, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so the Bible here says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He saw the multitudes there on the Sermon of the Mount. They all heard that message. They were all there. And he saw all these that were sick. And as he's now looking on this multitude here now, he's moved with compassion on them. That's who Jesus Christ is. And again, that's part of the kingdom of heaven. That's part of the kingdom of God, that there would be compassion. That's the rules and that's the laws of the kingdom of God, of having compassion. And it says he had compassion on them because they fainted. They were weak. They were tired. They had no strength. And so he had compassion on them. And it says that they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The state of Israel here at this time was in a state of disrepair. The Pharisees and the Sadducees missed it. They weren't preaching the truth. They were preaching their own ways. They weren't preaching about God or of Jesus Christ. And so they were scattered abroad, and they were as sheep having no shepherd, a pitiful sight. This is different than what Isaiah records, where he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. That's different. There was a shepherd there. There were prophets at that time, but they turned away from that. And they were sheep that had gone away from something that was truth and that they already had. But in this case, Jesus here is saying he had compassion on them because they were as those that had no shepherd. They had no guidance. They had no mentor. They had no savior. They had no one to teach them, to help them, to have pity on them. And so he had compassion on them. And so Jesus then turns to his disciples and he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The opportunities are great, is what Jesus is saying. The opportunities are great. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so there's the obstacle right there. Not enough support, not enough encouragement, not enough willing to step out of their own self and of their own comforts and to be used of the Lord. And so he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so this is a message for us today, that we ought to pray for one another, to encourage one another, that he would send us into his harvest, that he would give us the grace, that we would go to a deeper level of submission and service for the Lord, for his kingdom, to build up his kingdom, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. And so as we have these opportunities, they are God. It's God presenting opportunities to us. And let's take those opportunities and show compassion, show the kingdom of heaven, show what God is all about, show the compassion and the love and how Jesus came here upon this earth and knew that he would suffer from his own people and be hung and have to pay that supreme sacrifice, being separated from his Father while he died there upon the cross. That great, great love. And this is all his harvest. And so as we are presented with these opportunities, let's remember to take up the opportunities. And as we take up these opportunities, let's just simply remember, Satan's going to be there. Satan will be there, and he'll say, you can't do it. Give up now. Nobody cares. Why are you doing this? Satan will be there to say those things. But let's acknowledge that's Satan doing what he does, kill, stealing, and destroying. But God is there, and he is giving us strength. He will give us wisdom. He will give us the power that we need. He will be there. Again, God is greater than the mountain. But it's all his. It's all his. He owns it all. It's his harvest, the Bible says here. Jesus says these words. Pray that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So if there's an opportunity where we have to present the gospel to some, or to share of the gospel, or to share our testimony, or to reveal to others, to witness the great things that God has done for us, let's remember the results belong to God. It's his. The souls belong to God. They're his. The glory belongs to God. It's his. It's all his. We're just simply laborers doing what he would have us to do. And so as we go about our ways, and as we live out our lives, and we see opportunities that come our way, God is good, and God is faithful. There will be those challenges along the way, but God will provide. God in his goodness will provide. And we can trust in him, and we can have that faith that the two blind men had. Their faith was great. That faith removed the mountain in their lives. We can grow in that faith. We can honor the Lord. We can give him the glory that's due to his name, even as Jesus sought to do that which pleased the Father. May all glory be to his name. Amen.
The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I believe each and every one of us that have been converted are part of these labors that are few. And I believe that the Lord would speak to us. We would find it necessary to go into the harvest. You might say, well, what's the harvest? Well, if you look into Matthew 25, And we read there about when Christ separated the sheep from the goats, and he talked about, you didn't feed me, you didn't visit me, you didn't help me in any way. And they said, well, when we saw you this way, he said, well, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. But the ones that didn't do this, that didn't go into the harvest, he said to them, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I think of the song that we have on a CD, and some of the words goes like this. It says, who will go into my work in my field today? My children want to sit around my table, but no one wants to go into my field. And I've often thought of that. Why is that, that we just want to sit around his table, we don't want to go into his field? And I believe as the Lord sent out his disciples, even we read in the next chapter, how he sent them out two by two to go and work in the fields. I believe we have a responsibility to share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. May God grant the grace and the mercy for us that we would be willing to work in his field as laborers. Amen.